How's it going, everyone? My name is Scott Bennett, and thank you for tuning in to the Third Decade Podcast. My guest today is Beth Monsell, and she's going to be talking with us about healthy eating on a budget. So for most of our program and in previous episodes where we've talked about budgeting, it's usually discussed pretty broadly, which is why we're excited to talk about a specific component of everyone's budget, food. Food is one of those things that shows up on the must-pay side of your budget and the discretionary side as well, meaning that can offer some pretty big opportunities for savings. Groceries and eating outs are two parts of every budget that I've ever gone over, and I can't think of two categories that have such a wide range of amounts depending on the individual. For a lot of people, staying healthy is more important than a light item on your budget, and unfortunately, healthy eating can usually be associated with spending more at the store. We wanted to talk with Beth as she's someone who noticed this problem pretty early on, like a lot of us, but decided to be really proactive about it and do something about it. Beth is the creator of Budget Bites. Bites is spelled B-Y-T-E-S, a website and blog aimed at providing inexpensive recipes and teaching kitchen basics, along with the corresponding Budget Bites cookbook. She's somebody who has really put in the work in order to not only develop delicious recipes, but really track how we are spending on them, and has come up with a really cool process to do this. So here's my conversation with Beth as we talk about budgeting as a whole and how food fits into that and some of the ways we can think about food when it comes to our spending. I hope you all enjoy. Beth, thank you so much for joining us. We couldn't be more excited to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you just start us off with going into a little bit on your background and why you decided to start Budget Bites?
Yeah, sure. So I started this basically out of my own personal need. I was kind of in a place, like you were describing in the intro, where I had already cut out all discretionary spending out of my budget. And the only thing left that I could manipulate at all was food. And just for reference, I had just graduated college and I was working a job that was not paying very much. And my student loans had come into repayment. And even though I was super strict with my budget, I just wasn't making ends meet. So I had to do something. So since food was the only category left that could be manipulated, I started taking a deep dive into what I was spending and where that money was going. And my degree had been in nutritional science, which involves a lot of food service management. And part of that is budgeting for whatever commercial or, you know, public food service organization that you're managing. So I use the same techniques for costing out recipes that a large food service organization would work. And I did that in my own kitchen to figure out how the money I was spending on food was, like, where it was actually going. So I was breaking everything down by ingredient and per serving. And it was just really eye-opening. It's something I suggest everyone do at least once. And I do have a tutorial on my website about how to do that if anyone's interested. But I got really excited about it. And so I started posting on my personal Facebook, like, oh my God, I just made this recipe and it was only, you know, $5 and it's going to feed me for the next week. And people started asking me for the recipes. So at that point I was like, why don't I just start a blog? And I didn't even know what a blog was, but I Googled it and I figured it out. And it just so happened that was in 2009, which was during the last Great Recession. So it was kind of like perfect time, perfect place. And I very quickly realized how many people out there also needed that information. And at that point, it became a mission. I was like, I've got information that can help people. So I'm going to keep going with this. And it has just grown more than I could have ever imagined over the past 10 years.
That's so amazing. I mean, you kind of had this specific skill, right? I would have never thought about like breaking down per ingredient and stuff, but you had done that, as you said, for, you know, kind of using the same model that big companies did. But were you already a pretty good chef yourself? Is that something you did and you worked towards a lot?
I thought I was. Now, after doing this for 10 or 11 years, I am really embarrassed about what my skills were at back then. And, but, you know, like I had the basic cooking skills, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing, because we've had, I think probably for two or three generations now, you know, people growing up not having any place to learn just really basic cooking skills. I mean, even something as simple as boiling a pot of water and cooking pasta, you know, that's not intuitive. You have to learn that somewhere. So, you know, I started with those basic skills, and just like my audience, the more you do, the more you learn. So I've learned a lot more through doing this project.
So cool. So cool. And you have the cookbook and everything now, which is, you know, the evolution, it's definitely come full circle, it seemed like. So healthy eating in itself is more often than not associated with being expensive. And I know, you know, I've always heard that and stuff like that. Do you know, why do you think that is? And is it because, you know, organic food's more expensive or what? Is that something you found as well? Is healthy, is it pretty expensive to be able to eat healthy?
Well, I found that it's actually the exact opposite. The foods that are the cheapest in the grocery store are also usually the foods that are most healthy, like basic vegetables, beans, and grains. Those are all the best things for you. And they're, you know, less than a dollar a pound, whereas convenience foods are going to be a lot more expensive. I think where the misconception happens is because of marketing. So we've had this trend over the past, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years of things being marketed as superfoods. So people get it in their mind that those are the only foods that are really healthy. And unless you're going all out and just eating, you know, nonstop kale and quinoa and acai berries, then you're not going to be healthy. And so they kind of don't realize just how healthy the basics are, like carrots and onions and cabbage. Just switching to those things is going to make a massive impact on your health compared to like eating out. So if you're just like cooking really basic, simple stuff, it's so much better for you than processed prepared foods that you would get somewhere else.
Good point. Yeah. Cause I think as I was asking that question, a light kind of clicked on. It's that the more expensive quote unquote healthy stuff that I see are the already prepared healthy stuff, right? So if you're comparing like the organic TV dinners to the normal TV dinners, those are more expensive, but probably the ingredients are around the same. It's a lot less salt and stuff like that. Wow. So, you've been doing this for a while. You said 2009 kind of started but you were already talking to people before, and I'm sure you get questions all the time just on individuals and their spending habits and their cooking habits. What are some of the mistakes you see people making over and over again based on, you know, them spending too much or not eating healthy and things like that? What are you seeing that you could say, hey, if you could fix this one thing, this would probably make an impact?
I think it probably boils down to two major factors. The first would be trying to go all in right away instead of starting small and working your way up, because cooking on a budget or trying to cook healthy, they're both very individualized things. You have to learn through experience what type of foods you like, what type of cooking style works for your lifestyle and your schedule. And all of those things you're only going to learn through doing. So I always suggest people just start with like one recipe a week. Once you get comfortable doing that, you can add in a second recipe. And even just cooking one recipe at home is going to save you so much money. You'll probably just be astounded. And then you can move into 2, 3, 4 recipes, however many you want, and just find the sweet spot for you. And I think what happens a lot of times is people are like, I'm going to start cooking all at home. And they try to cook 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. You know, on their first try, and they get overwhelmed, it doesn't work, and they're like, this is not for me, and they give up. So I think that's one major issue. The second area where people really kind of mess up is that they don't plan. If you don't plan out what you're going to cook and eat, you're just going to end up wasting a bunch of stuff. So make a plan before you go to the grocery store. You know, look at your schedule, figure out realistically when you're going to have time to cook, and plan a recipe for that time. Look at the recipe, write down the ingredients so you make sure you have everything you need, because if you, you know, forget one ingredient, then you're not going to be able to make the recipe and all those other ingredients you bought are going to go to waste. So planning is so important on many levels. And if you don't know where to start with planning, I've got a couple tutorials on my website for that too. And it does take a few, you know, extra minutes on the front end, but it saves you so much time and money on the other side that it's so worth it.
My wife and I started using your site, and that's one thing that I think we've gotten so much better at, because we did purchase a meal plan kit that I think was $12 for 4 weeks, I think was, or something like that of recipes. And you have, you know, recipes by week. And it was, for us, it kind of clicked because we usually went to the grocery store about once a week, right? But we were kind of sporadic in how we did it and just thinking through like what meals we were going to do and everything. Now we can say, okay, here's exactly what we need to get and know this thing that's on for week two, we bought in week one, we didn't use all of it. That's been really helpful. But at the same time, I would go crazy if I didn't ask this question, because it is kind of my number one pet peeve. My wife will tell you, when we have to go through and like fridge is getting full, we have to clean out the fridge and throw away things, you know, is the only way to make sure produce doesn't go bad is to use less of it more often? Or are there other tricks that you've learned in order to keep it? Because it seems like the more, you know, organic or fresh produce we're buying, you know, it goes bad quicker. And with a 2.5-year-old, my daughter's taste change seems like weekly. She likes something one week and it's her favorite thing. Blueberries are the things that kind of drive me nuts because they're kind of expensive if you buy organic ones especially. And she will at one day have half of a carton of them and then the next week not eat any. So have you seen anything? Are we doing something wrong that we're going, oh my gosh, I'm throwing away half of a thing of blueberries?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things you can do. So one thing is just always kind of keeping mental stock of what's in your refrigerator. So maybe every other day or every few days, go in there and take a look like, oh, we didn't use up all of this. We need to make sure to use this in the next few days. Yeah. Or this is about to get soft. We got to use this. And that's one of the reasons we went through all of the recipes on our website and started tagging them by ingredients. So now we have an ingredient index. So if you have something in your fridge that's about to go bad, or you want to make sure you use up before the end of the week, you can go to this ingredient index, click on that ingredient, and pull up all the recipes that use that ingredient. So you can find a way to use it. And then there are other types of recipes that are really good for just using up basically whatever ingredient you have on hand. I like to call them kitchen sink recipes or like catch-all recipes. So for vegetables, you can throw just about any vegetable onto a pizza, into a soup, you know, into a pasta salad. So having a list of these kind of catch-all recipes in the back of your head can really help use up the rest of your produce. Another thing is to lean heavily on your freezer, whether that be buying some of your produce frozen so it doesn't go bad, or freezing your leftover produce. So something like blueberries, you could really easily freeze the rest of those. You know, just freeze them laying flat on a cookie sheet so that they don't stick together in one clump. Then once they're frozen solid, you can transfer those to a freezer bag. And then you have those berries on hand to throw into a smoothie or to make a little, you know, sauce for your pancakes on the weekend or whatever you want to do with them.
We started just pretty recently buying frozen blueberries. And is it true? I had read somewhere that they can sometimes be actually better for you if when you buy the frozen fruit and vegetables. Because I think that was a misconception I had, that frozen fruit and vegetables were somehow worse. Is it true that they can actually have a little bit more nutrients because they were frozen quicker from when they were picked? Is that right?
That's my understanding. I haven't actually looked at like the data or the studies, but that's what I've always learned as well. So okay, I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to. So I don't throw more stuff away. So as I touched on, you know, we have a 2.5-year-old and an almost year old, and time in the kitchen is something that we just don't have a lot of. We both work and we'll get home and we're tired. It's one reason that we've loved using your recipes, because it seems like all of them we're making in a half an hour. But one thing that I've noticed is the amount of gadgets that are popping up that swear to, you know, save time seems to be like every year there's a new. If it's a pressure cooker one year, it's the air fryer. Do you have much experience with those? Would you have one that you said, yep, you need to have this if you're trying to save time?
No, I am all about having a minimal kitchen. I mean, people have been cooking for thousands of years with like nothing. You don't need the special gadgets that cost you hundreds of dollars. I am going to admit that I fell for the Instant Pot hype and I bought one. I had been wanting a pressure cooker in general before that, because they are good for cooking things like dry beans and stuff. Yeah. But when I saw that Instant Pot with like 7 functions, I'm like, let me just try this out. And then I regretted it. Because it takes up more room on my countertop. It's harder to clean than a regular pot and pan. And for everyday basic stuff, it's just as fast to use your pot because the Instant Pot still has to heat up. It still has to depressurize. And you could just have done it in a regular pot on the stove in that amount of time. I mean, there are a couple things that it does good, again, like dry beans or like pulled meat, things that would take a really long time. But for 98% of the stuff, I would rather just use basic cooking utensils. And I actually just recently wrote a blog post last week about the 5 kitchen tools that are must-haves for me. And it's the 5 most basic things that I think every kitchen should have. And it's just, you know, stuff like your chef's knife, a Dutch oven, which is a really great multi-purpose you know, cooking pot that can go in the oven or on the stovetop, you know, like a cheese grater. You wouldn't think you can use that for a lot of stuff, but I use it like every day. So, you know, just really basic stuff like that. And, you know, forget about the single use specialty items. They're just going to waste your money.
Yeah. I think the Dutch oven, I'm glad you said that because that's been my kind of go-to. My parents bought us one at a yard sale and I thank them all the time for it. Along the same line of saving time, as I touched on before, your site has been so nice because it seems like, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like not only are you focused on making like healthy and good tasting, good recipes, but also recipes that you can do in a pretty short amount of time. Was that something that you took into account as you were making this website and thinking about recipes? And how hard is it to come up with recipes that, you know, like I said, I think every single one we've cooked has taken us about a half an hour at the longest.
Yeah, that has been something I've focused on definitely more in the later years of the blog. In the early days, I was more like everything DIY. You can save more money by just making everything from scratch yourself. And then I soon realized that, you know what, that's just not practical. You know, I think for most people, you have to find that balance between doing things yourself or buying pre-made. That's a part of cooking on a budget, you know, just finding where you are on that spectrum. And for me, I'm a busy person. Cooking really fast, easy meals is the way to go. So that's what I do. And I feel like that's what most of my audience wants as well. It can be hard, but I think cooking and coming up with recipes just uses a creative muscle that the more you exercise it, the easier it becomes. So I would say it's probably easier for me now than it was back then. But on the other side of the coin, it can be more difficult because the more eyes that are on my work, the more the performance anxiety kicks in. It's like, if you know, you know, a million people are going to see this and it's not right, you're going to get a lot of criticism. And that can be really difficult to deal with on a day and daily basis. So
yeah, I didn't even think about that. I get nervous when I'm just cooking for my parents or a couple of times. They're cooking for quite a few people. You're not even cooking for them. You don't even have control of it. When somebody emails you, probably your first reaction is like, well, you screwed up the recipe.
I can't say that, but everyone thinks they follow the recipe to a T. Let me just say that. I think that sometimes, if you knew you were making a mistake when you made it, you wouldn't have made it. So,
So if there is someone listening who's never heard of your site or seen one of your recipes before, do you have a recipe that you like say, this is the best introduction to Budget Bites? This is kind of who we are, or if it's not one, maybe a few.
Yeah, it's tough to pick one because there are, I think, over 1,100 recipes on there right now. But some that have been just tried and true, things that people love for years. One is the creamy tomato and spinach pasta. It's just a really quick skillet meal. There's the beef and cabbage stir fry, super cheap, super delicious. I think it takes like 15 minutes to make. Or just like my basic pot of chili. That one's been really popular too. And I think it really represents how inexpensive it is to make a big batch of food that will feed you for days.
It's funny you say that. The creamy tomato pasta has been my favorite and my 2.5-year-old favorite. That's really
called it.
That was on point. That's pretty amazing. Well, thanks so much again. I think, you know, the work you're doing is so cool and so unique that I'd never seen food talked about in quite this way, broken down the way you do it, having it down. I mean, your site does it. You have it down to the ingredient and how much per serving this meal is going to cost, which if you're really sticking to a budget or paying attention to a budget, it can be really helpful to see that and know that, you know, I'm doing it. And then also the mindfulness of reusing ingredients, making sure that, you know, you're cooking different meals, but meals can taste a lot different with even the same ingredients. It's just kind of how you use them, right? So thanks so much for putting the site out there and all these delicious recipes, and as well as talking to us.
Well, thank you so much for letting me share my work with your audience. I really hope it helps somebody out.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you didn't pick it up from the recording, I'm a huge fan of Bess and Budget Bites. I think that she is doing some great work in terms of how to think through eating healthily while also watching your budget. We will include the link to her site. And again, if you just want to visit it, it's budgetbites.com, and Bites is spelled B-Y-T-E-S. So thanks again to Beth. We are really, really happy she could come on, and we're really excited to continue following her and seeing which recipes and things she comes up with next. I'll talk to you all in a couple weeks.